Hello, everyone. It's time for another edition of Adventures in Careerland. Hello, I am Adriano Magnifico. I am the career lead at the Louis Riel Arts and Technology Center in the Louis Riel School Division. And that's a very cool place that houses 13 programs that include applied business management, automotive technology, baking and pastry, culinary, childhood educator, electrical trades, hairstyling, information systems, new media design, plumbing trades. It's an amazing space for students in high school who think, I want to check out a possibility. I want to think about another way to do school. So we're always gratified when a student chooses this space to complete some of those 30 credits that they have to complete in their high school schedule. And it's a really neat place. The broadcast media space is housed in one of those programs. And we're in the podcast studio with the broadcast media, and we have co-hosts in this space, Andre Poirier from the broadcast media program. Andre, how are you?
I am doing peachy today. Absolutely amazing.
Well, what's going on in your life?
Well, we're taking a new drone course with the Louis Riel.
Did you say drone? Like
drones, like the things like that. We're taking them a course to learn how to fly drones and how to detect Dutch elm disease in elm trees.
No, you're not. You're making it up.
No, I'm not making it up. Using like the sensors, you can see the different leaves that aren't producing a certain chemical that reflects near infrared light, and then whichever ones are darker usually means that they might be unhealthy and might have Dutch elm disease.
Okay, that's kind of insane. I never did school like that. That's kind of cool. Are you excited for that? Are you excited?
Oh, yeah. What's it called? Sorry. Last Thursday, we just had our first class, and the next class is May 6th, and we'll be learning how to actually fly the drone itself.
Is this something you love doing?
Well, I didn't know I loved it until I went to the class Thursday. I heard about it. I went, ooh, I want to learn how to fly a drone. I walk into the room and I go, oh, that's cool. We're using this to learn how to actually save trees and actually save something.
And that's amazing. There's so many cool activities in a high school and are all around you that people try. I love what you said. I didn't know I liked this till I tried it. Mm. That's what the world's becoming.
I just took up an opportunity.
I like it. And I think that's what people have to do. They have to try a lot of things. We also have with us Lina Alfordi from the Applied Business Management Program. How are you?
I'm doing good. Really good.
All right. So what are you up to?
So actually, if many of you don't know, I have a small business. I own a sustainable fashion brand. And since today's Earth Day, I'm doing a surprise drop. So yeah, I don't think I posted on TikTok. So people kind of had the idea, like I posted we had photo shoots on Friday, and I posted like a little teaser video. So I think, and like with the date, so I think people kind of knew, but it was never announced. So I'm excited to see people's reaction. It's dropping at 2 p.m. today.
So most kids are going home to watch TV and eat bonbons, and you're out doing photo shoots and setting up a business while you're in grade 11.
Yes, or grade 12.
Grade 12. So is it pretty much obvious to say that when you're not doing homework for your program here in the Applied Business Management Program, which is a very cool program, you actually take a university credit in the program. Mm-hmm. It gives you a taste of it. How do you like that university credit?
Yeah, actually, we did the first exam a while ago. I didn't find it to be that bad at all. Like, I think I did pretty good. I didn't find it really hard.
Well, we'll wait for that mark. Yeah. Anyway.
I have two more coming up. So.
Yeah, we'll wait for that mark. Oh my God, I didn't know. Well, I'm sure you did well. But most kids are working on their homework, maybe playing a sport. You're running a small business while you're in grade 11. So is that occupying all of your discretionary time pretty much?
Yeah, sometimes I actually focus on it more than my homework, which is bad. But I mean, because it's only me, I'm doing everything. I have to prepare like the email that will be sent out to all the subscribers that, oh, I have a new item. I have to send like, or I have to make like a scheduled time to post on TikTok, Instagram, like all the social medias that I have, and then update the stock, update everything on the website. Like if there's a mistake, it's a big problem because no one can fix it but me. So I always have to be on top of my stuff. So it's hard managing.
But that's why you took this program, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Because this program gives you the extra insight and gives you more business savvy. Exactly. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Well, you'll be excited then, Lena. Maybe you'll be even slightly excited. I know you'll be totally excited too.
Woo!
But we have a young entrepreneur as our guest, whom I met many years ago at something called Ramp Up. And she was, she is a graduate from Vincent Massey Collegiate 2015. And I'd like to introduce you to Shelby Olson. Shelby, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank you.
That's Shelby. Great.
Hello. Thank you for Hello. Having me on today.
Oh, super excited to have you because I've always been an admirer of yours. From that first day I saw you, you were a Vincent Massey student and you actually started, you're responsible for starting up this Ramp Up piece. And the Ramp Up is this weekend. It's kind of an exciting and immersive experience that pulls together developers, designers, makers, entrepreneurs, and you build up a startup in a single weekend. But there wasn't a high school portion, as I recall, back in those days. Mm-hmm. And you started the high school portion, correct?
I definitely tried to. I'm not sure how it is today and who's taking the reins. But yeah, back in my grade 12 year, I tried to bring it to the high school realm and get some more students involved.
And you got this rep, I'm telling you, around Winnipeg as this young, aspiring, entrepreneurial kid at Massey. And I thought that was a pretty cool thing for you to do, to get into Ramp Up and to get involved in the entrepreneurial world. What makes you do that in high school? Like, where do you get this DNA to be an entrepreneur? High school doesn't do that because, you know, high school doesn't do that, right?
It sounds like it's doing a great job now. There's definitely a lot more programs and opportunities that have been introduced since I was in high school, which doesn't feel like that long ago. But now that I hear 2015, I guess it has been almost a decade now. But I really, at the time, I have to credit the mentors in my life for getting me into entrepreneurship. I was fortunate to have a more entrepreneurial class and specifically a teacher that really saw something in me that I didn't see in myself and encouraged me to get more involved, to consider entrepreneurship as a potential career path.
Well, give that teacher a shout out. Jane Backhart. Yes. I know Jane very well. She's awesome.
Yeah, she's awesome. So that was actually back in grade 10. She had a retailing course that I had taken. And while the course itself was a little more by the book, we had a chance to develop a relationship just in that class. And through her, I had the opportunity to go to a Mayor's State of the Union luncheon where I actually met Scott McCauley, who is an entrepreneurship instructor at Red River, and also the husband of who was my rugby coach at the time. So lots of little connection points there. And he's really the one that brought me into Ramp Up Weekend. What was it called initially? It changed to Ramp Up Weekend down the line, but I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I don't remember
it had
the original
another name
name.
In the
yes,
beginning.
Yes. Like that whole environment in Adelaide there has completely changed, like the names of it, everything. And it's a very cool space right now.
Oh, it's fantastic.
The whole North Forge technology piece there is so cool. But what's going on in high school? You're walking down the hallway. Miss Backhart, Jane, ignites that piece in you. But was this in you waiting to come out? What courses are you taking in high school?
I was taking pretty standard courses, though, the ones that you're required to take, the math, English, all of those, just required ones. I can't say necessarily.
What did you take outside of the box? Did you take the dramas? What electives were you taking? You said you took a retailing. Were you heavily involved in the business side of those opportunity courses and such?
Yeah, retailing was really the only elective I had, at least in that time or in that year. And then I just stuck with Ms. Backhart's classes for my other years as much as I could. So in grade 11, she had a marketing course that I took. And that's actually the class that kicked off my marketing career. From that class, we had to find a local business and offer our support to them, primarily with their online presence, so helping them either get set up with a website or run Facebook page, an Instagram page, something that younger generations are just kind of naturally good at now, having grown up with that technology. So I'd worked with a business at the Forks and just helped them with their Instagram presence and getting them up to speed with some of those technologies or marketing channels that people kind of expect businesses to have. And through it, just thought, wow, this is actually something that I could do. I'm pretty good at it. I'm adding value to this business, and I actually ended up starting a little social media marketing agency as a result of that class. So
So,
lots of fantastic opportunities in high
yeah,
school.
like that sounds amazing. Like, were you doing that in high school, setting
Yes.
up your own little marketing and social media agency?
Yeah, so I started
And
that in grade 11 and continued on throughout grade 12. I actually brought on two individuals to help me run it in grade 12. And we had a number of different clients across the city, Innovate Manitoba being one of them. So got to still be very involved in the entrepreneurship scene, just as a result of being involved with Innovate Manitoba. Had a spa, a few restaurants, a good mix of different businesses in there. So lots of great exposure to different industries.
And what kind of kid were you when you were younger? Like, did you always want to do something like this? Like, was this always your interest?
I actually wanted to be an entomologist growing up. And if you don't know what that is, it's a bug
Yeah.
scientist. So a
No
very
way.
different, very different path. And yeah, I definitely thought I was actually going to go down more of a science route, but something with business just clicked for me when I had the opportunity to get exposed to it.
So, did you like to uncover rocks and look at the bugs all the time as a kid?
Oh, absolutely. I had this little shed in my backyard that had windows and stuff, so I kind of treated it like my little laboratory, and I had bug catchers and all the books on bugs, and I would study them, and I actually raised a few through full life cycles
That's so
just out
cool.
of interest.
Well, yeah, we hatch butterflies. It's mostly my wife. We from little seed to on a milkweed too. We watch them break, organize their or set up their cocoon, and they turn into monarch butterflies. So it's an amazing thing to watch.
It
But
really
I,
is. It's so fun.
it is amazing. Nature's a, were you attracted to nature? Were you attracted to being outdoors and doing that kind of work and using your hands and getting dirty?
Oh, absolutely. I spent all of my time outside as a kid. I had a tree even just down the street that had a perfect little perch on it, and I would go hang out in that tree and read my books and just spend as much time as I could outside all the time. And that's
Oh
still the
my
case
gosh.
now.
What kind of books were you reading? Jane Eyre? What kind of, or no.
Bug books.
Bug books, bug books, of
Learning about
course.
different bugs.
Hey, did the school system, like you did well in sciences then, right?
Yeah, I'd say
Okay.
overall, like most classes, I would
Okay,
do. I was
okay.
pretty
So,
academic growing up.
yes, that's what I was trying to get at. Were the guidance counselors kind of pushing you to pursue sciences, or did they just not intervene with you? You kind of meandered yourself and figured this out.
I'd say meandered myself. Again, having those great mentors, specifically when I hit high school, that really shaped the career path that I was going down. But up until then, I would say everyone was kind of herded in the same direction. It's here are the classes you need to take them and
I
try to
love
do
that
your best
term,
in
a
all of them.
herd. It really is. It's like cattle going through
Yeah, pretty
those
much.
30 credits. You're moving from room to room, buzzer, and then you start moving, the whole gang starts moving. That's
Yeah, can you
amazing.
tell us some more about your mentors and family and where you come from?
Sure. So I'm born and raised in Winnipeg. Growing up, had my mom and my sister, a pretty small family. So my sister actually is the one that went a lot more down the academic route. She's a doctor now in sports medicine. So I guess during the high school phase is when we kind of split in our different directions. She's a few years older than me. But yeah, for mentors, I would say in high school is really the most formative time for me, and I really do believe that I wouldn't be where I am today without having those mentors in my life. So, as I mentioned before, Jane Backart, my teacher for a couple different elective courses, more on the business side, and then Scott McCauley too, who really brought me into the entrepreneurship world, introduced me to Ramp Up, introduced me to specific people in the entrepreneurship community, who really took me under their wing and gave me a ton of opportunities to learn and contribute. And then Scott's wife, Sonia McCauley, who is my rugby coach and gym teacher, who really provided me opportunities in a different way, just seeing certain qualities in me that I didn't necessarily see in myself, and again, giving me those opportunities to learn and to fail, which I think is just equally as important as
succeeding. The failing stuff's good, right? Like the failing stuff's important, right? We always talk in schools about, hey, it's important for kids to fail, but I'm always of the attitude of picking yourself up quick and taking the learnings and keep moving. Like mm-hmm. Sometimes
that's
when
so
people
important.
Fail, they just get it. Yeah, sometimes when they fail, they just get into this bit of a rut and they got it, and they don't move. But the failing has lots to teach you, I always think. And when you take that learning and when you take that opportunity to move it and iterate it differently, something new happens. Something happens to your brain.
I also think that if you miss a target, say you have a goal you want to reach, but you don't make it to that, that's not failure. You've learned something by doing that. That's not failure. Not trying to push yourself, that's failure.
Well, I've never heard that from you before. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna
surprise and go for Andre.
That's right. What is that about? That's okay, Andre, Shelby, Lena, Adriano. We are gonna climb a mountain for this man's wisdom.
He's
just gonna
feeling inspirational today.
I know. I love it. Hey, Ty, that was good for you. Good. I'm giving him a pat on the shoulder here. This is a beautiful moment. I'm giving him a pat on the shoulder.
Is that surprising?
That's a great line. People. I don't know you that well, so I can't comment on
no, he's
what
a,
your
he's
usual
no,
speeches, but sounded
well,
very
Andre's
natural.
Very natural. And Andre's the kind of person who expressed in one of the first podcasts we did with him here as a host how difficult some things were, and you get tuned out or turned off when you can't do it. And he's learning in this program, which is so cool. It's a broadcast media program that has all the latest tech and it's state-of-the-art stuff here. And he's learning that I have to keep plugging at it. I have to keep digging at it to get good at things. And that wasn't his mindset when he started. He's developing a mindset like that. Was your mindset always like the Andre mindset? I just have to keep plugging away. And there's so many things I don't know.
In retrospect, I would say yes. In the moment, maybe not so much. My sister and me both, I'd say, were kind of cursed and blessed with being perfectionists in many ways. And
yes.
Because of that, I think I held myself to a higher standard than I think is probably reasonable. So failure did definitely hurt, but I also didn't let myself let that be the end. If I didn't succeed in something, that couldn't be it. I had to be good at it. So I think that
right
mentality kind of drove me through to keep plugging away at it, like you said.
So what was that like working? You're in a high school, though. The high school's not structured that way. You're hanging out. Think about this. You're hanging out with all your buddies and your friends, and you're meandering through those hallways as the herd you so affectionately referred to. And Are they looking at you? Are you an anomaly? Are you an outlier here? Or did you feel that way going through high school a bit? Because I saw you ramp up. I thought this kid is in a different planet than the regular high school kid. Did
a
you feel like
bit,
you're an outlier?
So
a little bit?
not as much early on, but towards the end of high school, for sure. I actually would have some of my business meetings at the high school in our library resource room. So I was that kid sometimes that showed up in a blazer and business clothes to their grade 11 and 12 classes. So I would say a little bit of an anomaly in that sense. Definitely stuck out like a sore thumb when it came to my outfit choices, but I was going straight from math into a meeting with a client to talk about their social media strategy for the month. So definitely had the shift in mindset that that was what I was doing. I was doing school on the side, but my main thing that was taking up my time and my brain space was my business that I was running, and I was getting so much value and learning from that, that classes and school and those kind of things kind of became secondary to me towards the end of my high school time.
And do you have any moments in your life that change the way you see yourself or change the way you see the world?
That's a great question. Nothing comes to mind immediately for like specific times.
Was there any moment though? Well, like, is there any great moment where you thought, oh, a cataclysmic moment where you thought this is the path, or even a tap on the shoulder from potentially Jane or anyone else where this was an incredible decision moment for me, or a moment where I turned a corner towards something. Do you remember anything like that?
In the moment, no. But again, in retrospect, I can definitely see the little decisions along the way that
Yes.
kept me on this path or put me on a different path. I would say I was definitely very fortunate in getting a lot of opportunities come to me, but saying yes to them, even if I maybe didn't feel like I had the capacity or if I wasn't the right person, if I had that imposter syndrome, but still saying yes and trusting myself to just figure it out later. That I think is really the big decisions or the little decisions that led to the big outcome. It was constantly saying yes to the opportunities that come. And again, trusting myself to learn the skills that I need to learn to be able to get the job done, whatever the job may be.
Boy, that's a big piece though, eh? Imposter syndrome.
Oh,
Do
yes,
you
still have
like you
it.
I've had it all my life. I suspect you got. Do you know what imposter syndrome is, you too?
Kind of,
Like the
but.
feeling of not belonging.
Not quite non-belonging. How would you define imposter syndrome? But that's part of it. How would you define imposter syndrome? It's just this belief that
Yeah. For me, it's a not having
I
the
can't do this.
experience or the
I can't do
expertise
this. Yeah,
to do
I
the
don't think I
job.
can do this. Yeah, I don't think I
Oh,
can do this. It's this imposter syndrome where you go, and then I like what Shelby's saying, but I dive into it anyway, and then it turns out okay. And every time it's self-doubt where you just believe this little guy on your shoulder saying, "That's not gonna work. No way, it's gonna work. Are you sure you want to do this? You're gonna embarrass yourself." But you forge forward anyway. It's
And
like, what
that's
are
how
you
you
worried
learn.
about, Lena? Yes, oh, it's you learn, but
It's
it also. Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say it's painful. It's definitely not
Oh.
easy, especially in the beginning. Like anytime I've started a new job, that first 6 months especially is exhausting, and there's so much doubt in the first bit of, oh, can I actually do this? Did I bite off more than I can chew? Because you're not only learning like the new business that you're a part of or the processes, but in my case, I've often actually taken on completely new roles than what I've done before. So there's just so much learning, and it's easy to be in your own head about it and say, like, maybe this isn't the right place for me. Maybe someone else would have been better for this job. I don't want to let these people down that they've given me this chance. I need to perform, and I need to deliver.
Yeah, it seems like you take a lot of opportunities. Like you see an opportunity and you take it. You think you can learn something from it. Have you ever turned down an opportunity and then regretted it?
Also a great question. I don't think I've ever regretted turning down an opportunity. I
That's
have
good.
turned down
That's good.
more in more recent years. I'd say when I was a little younger, I took on a lot more. I was more willing to stretch myself very thin. I think COVID actually, that time period changed my mindset a little bit, and
Oh, it changed everyone.
yeah, I think
It's changed
it was a
everyone.
big shift for everyone, but just in realizing the value and taking the time to also rest and take care of myself and having that space to be creative again too, not just simply go through the motions of every day, pack it from sun up to sundown, and not have that time to step away from my business, step away from my career, and reflect. I'm finding now saying no to a few opportunities that I might have in the past said yes to in favor of giving myself more space to really dial in and focus on the things that are important to me now and important for my future, for what's going to have the biggest impact in moving me in the direction that I want to and need to go in.
I like that.
And what does your process look like when you get an order?
Well, right now we're mostly selling in person. So I have a little business. It's called Little Mushroom Company. I do it with my partner, Evgeny. And our primary sales channel right now is actually farmers market. So we're getting to interact with our customers face to face. And when we get those orders, it's in real time. So
Oh,
we're
that's
just selling
awesome.
direct like that. But we are in a few retail spaces now. So in that case, again, the inventory is already there. But this year, we're actually going to be focusing a little bit more on improving our online presence and selling direct through the website.
Great. That's awesome.
So the Little Mushroom Company that houses the Beauty Bark piece, right?
Yes, correct.
And is that one piece of mushroom? Are there other pieces of the Mushroom Company?
There is. So Beauty Bark was our flagship product that we launched with actually around this time last year. So we're just over a year old. And so Beauty Bark is functional mushroom chocolate. So it's a natural dark chocolate bark. We make it from scratch with organic cacao, sweeten it with maple syrup so there's no refined sugars. And then what makes it unique is that it has functional mushrooms in it. So we use chaga and tremella. Chaga is known for being really good for digestive health and immunity. And tremella is known as the beauty mushroom because it's really good for your skin. And that's where the Beauty Bark name comes from.
Who's your
And then,
supplier?
oh, sorry, go ahead.
Where do you get all that those mushrooms? Who's your supplier?
We have two suppliers, one's out of BC and one's out of Ontario.
Oh, so it's not just
And
like
then for
from your
the other
backyard?
ingredients, kind of all over the place, we have our maples out of Quebec, and then cacao unfortunately doesn't grow in Canada, so we get that either from the Netherlands or from Peru, and yeah, all over the
Wow.
place. We've had to source, which has been a very fun and interesting challenge, just learning how to deal with suppliers all over the place and
Yes.
time the supply chain so we have the ingredients in time for when we need to do production and making sure that our production will meet our sales projections. So lots of great learning just in this business this year.
Well, I'm looking at your social media prowess here, which is amazing. And all of the jobs you've had are marketing jobs. Is that correct? That's about right, right? And
Yes.
I'm looking at, I mean, on your, I checked out LinkedIn and such, and everything you've done from Bold to Cambrian to PayWorks, you're a marketing person. So what is it about
Yes.
marketing? And is social media be the single biggest piece of marketing now? Where it was important, but now is it essential for every company? It's almost like having an accountant. You must have a social media expert in your space. What do you think?
I think it really depends on the business and the customers and the industry. Social media, I absolutely think, is critical and that every business should have some presence, but not every business's products and offering are suited to people who are power social media users. So the marketing mix absolutely depends on the situation. It's going to be different no matter which industry and which business you look at.
And who your target is, I guess, right? Who is
Yes,
your
yeah,
target market,
exactly.
right?
Target audience, yeah.
So who's your target market for Beauty Bark?
Health conscious people for sure. We've definitely seen a few different pockets with our products, and specifically the Beauty Bark, the chocolate. We have the people who appreciate naturally made products, no matter what's in it. We have the people who are specifically interested in it because it has mushrooms in it. And then we have the people who just simply like good
You can't,
chocolate.
yeah, well, you can't smoke this chocolate, can you, or anything, or
No. No, I mean, you can melt
just
it.
wondering, just
I've melted it
wondering.
down on
Not that that matters to me. Not that that matters to
the
me.
ice cream. Yeah, it's for a friend, isn't it,
It's for a
huh? Asking
friend.
For a
for a
friend.
friend.
Yeah. No, these mushrooms will, you'll be able to drive a car after, I'll put it that way.
No, that's very good, very good. So, well, I have subscribed to your space, and I encourage my co-host to subscribe to her space, yes, to get some emails in your product. Now, if I'm a, I'll tell you why. My wife is a dark chocolate aficionado. She loves dark chocolate. So does this have the same medicinal feel of the dark chocolate?
Oh,
like
definitely.
In terms of being, so does it taste like dark chocolate, or what? Like, what is this about? I'm asking, yes, for my wife, because I'm thinking this would be a lovely little gift or something, mm-hmm, yeah, you know, something small I can bring her.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to get you some to try. But yes, it is. I'd say it's comparable to like a 70 to 80% dark chocolate.
Ah, that's what she likes. Perfect.
The maple adds an interesting dimension to it. So it's sweetened with that, but it, you can taste a little bit of the flavor of the maple in it. And because we use the raw cacao instead of cocoa, it is a little bit more bitter. So cocoa, it has been processed in some way, like it's been,
yes,
heated.
Yes.
And that makes it smoother and a little bit sweeter. So when you use the raw version, it does have more of that bitter taste.
But personally, I actually
really like that a lot more. And I'm finding,
yes, yes, it
that
sounds cool,
our customers like it for that bitterness too, because it has that very natural taste. Like it doesn't taste,
yes,
like it has been processed. It tastes like it's straight from nature, and that's the intention.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. So you've got a customer here, so don't forget about it.
Perfect.
Now, I'm also wondering about that supply chain. Isn't chocolate in or feeling the effects of the supply chain? It's difficult to get some of the chocolate suppliers, the original farmers and such, are having some trouble getting, mm-hmm, this stuff out. Are, yeah, you feeling that?
I'm hoping it won't impact us too much, but we've definitely seen some rises in costs over the last little bit. I believe it's actually was in Southern Africa. Don't quote me on that,
yes,
they're having issues with the cacao,
yes,
plants. Both of ours are coming from two different locations. However, naturally, when the supply is reduced anywhere in the world, it's going to put more demand for people who are maybe using, again, the South African, I'm not sure, suppliers for their products are now probably having to look elsewhere, which will naturally increase the demand. And when that happens, prices usually skyrocket. So
my
we
prices
will
are going to go up. That sucks. Yeah. So, hey, tell me more. I want to get back to the marketing piece. So is social media, what other things does a marketer do? Like, this is your job. You've done this, mm-hmm, for the last 7 or 8 years, and you're into it. I love that you started it in high school, getting the spark, right? Mm-hmm. Tell me what a marketing person does.
There's actually a lot more roles within the marketing realm than you might expect. So while I started in social media, and I'd say the first half of my career was very focused on the social media aspect of things. So I had my business doing social media marketing. Then I worked at an agency where we primarily did social media marketing, but we also helped with website and graphic design and all of that. My role now is actually the most different marketing role that I've been in. I'm a product marketer, so I don't touch social media at all. My primary job is to act as the link between marketing, sales, and product. And our product is a software product. So what I do in my role now is I help translate the technical jargon and the way that a more technical person would describe our software solutions into plain language that the sales team can use and the marketing team can use to actually promote the product and rephrase it in ways that resonate with our target market.
So you're talking about PayWorks,
right?
It's a very
unique position.
Yeah, it sounds really neat. Like, yeah, you're in the middle bridging the gaps, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about working at PayWorks, though,
yes,
correct?
Correct.
Okay, so what is PayWorks? Tell our audience what PayWorks does.
So PayWorks is in the payroll business. So we have software solutions for payroll, which is how businesses pay their employees. But it's really total workforce management now. So there's other solutions that can be paired with payroll to help with the full employee experience. So like time management, helping track time for when employees clock in, clock out, take breaks, absence management, being able to coordinate schedules when employees are on vacation, and all of those tie back into payroll. So it really comes down to helping businesses and employers pay their employees the correct amount on time and to local legislation, which is a big consideration in Canada, making sure,
oh, for sure,
all of the I's are dotted and T's are crossed when it comes to payroll legislation.
That's pretty great. Cool. Did you have any idea, you two, what PayWorks was?
I had no clue.
Yeah, me neither.
And that's a Winnipeg company. It's pretty big. How wide are you? How big are you? You're pretty big.
Very big. So, it started, I believe, 23 years ago by a woman named Barb. She started it just on her own. And now we're, I believe, close to 600 employees. So the head office is in Winnipeg, but there's about 10 or 11 offices across Canada now. So a great Winnipeg success story.
Totally. And nobody knows much about PayWorks. You see it, I think you drive down Osborne, right? Is it on Osborne?
It's on, just off of Waverly. But we're actually building a new headquarters in Bridgewater now. So that should be opening in the coming months.
You're expanding. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. So this is an amazing story. Shelby, you've got an amazing story of someone who moves forward and keeps thinking, keeps connecting to those pieces that stick to you, like the marketing piece that sticks to you, and then you move into another space with marketing, and then you move into another space with a different kind of marketing. Your story is an interesting one, and I think it's a really important one for students to hear, because people listen to this podcast from a variety of different places, from a classroom to their car, to people outside now, the country sometimes. Some profs listen to it. And I think the story is important about the plan is not a linear one. The plan is moving forward and seeing what sticks to you and continuing to move forward with those pieces as this jigsaw of Shelby becomes more and more clean, more and more prevalent, more and more defined. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think
okay.
A common misconception is that people need to figure out what they're doing in life and stick to that plan and know exactly what it's going to look like 10, 20, 30 years down the line. But I think the best way to move through life is just to take opportunities that feel right as they come, try them out, and be open to more opportunities. They're going to come, or you can create them for yourself if you have something in mind, but just simply saying yes to as much as you can, I think, is the key to finding your path and just listening to your gut and seeing what feels right.
Is that what you tell a grade 11 class if you were sitting in front of them right now and they said, what do you think we ought to do? Would you add anything to that?
Trust your gut.
Think of yourself. Trust your gut.
I like that. Very good.
Yeah. Say yes to everything and see how it feels.
I like that. Say yes to everything. I'm a big fan of that, of the experience and how it kind of actually builds your neural pathways, right? When you try different things with a little bit of fear, a little bit of trepidation, but a little bit of sense that I'm going to try it out, see how it feels, see how it works.
In the worst case scenario, it doesn't work out and you try something else. That's the beauty of life. You get a lot of start overs.
And you always pick up something, even in the experience, that may appear to be insignificant or not reasonable for you. But that's good. Hey, Shelby, we're going to do something right now called
The Quick QZ. Life is a pick and choose. Speaking of pick and choose, we are going to be doing a little game. Do you like games? Of course,
I love games.
We all love games. So we'll be playing a game called Quick Cues. Pretty much ask you a question really quick. You answer quickly and quick. So okay. Are you ready? Oh, you're perfect. Okay, let's go. Okay. Butter or margarine?
Butter.
Dark or white chocolate?
Dark.
Coffee, tea?
Tea.
Always be early or always be late?
Early.
Pet bird or pet fish?
Ooh, fish.
Room temperature water or cold water?
Cold water.
Favorite month?
July.
Snickers or Reese's?
Reese's.
Roses or tulips?
Tulips.
Pasta or pizza?
Oh, goodness. I can't pick that one. Those are my two top favorite foods. Both.
Well, I think that's about good. Thank you for playing our favorite game show. We have one last. Of course. Now, quick. What is your favorite podcast?
This one.
Now, Shelby, we can actually upload this to the space.
Perfect. Just said this one. Do you even know the name of the podcast?
Adventures in Careerland.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, that was an interesting iteration of that little piece. It's been a lame event here, Shelby. So it slowly iterates and slowly turns into something.
You called me lame?
I love it.
Well, you forgot the last question.
Okay.
That's a given. The last question is a given. Anyway, we appreciate that. Thank you, sir. Thanks for doing that. Shelby, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me. That was great.
Oh, I loved it. I think your story is going to be very inspirational for high school students. And the people who are looking for a little inspiration, I'm going to pass this one around. What we'll do, I'll pass it around to people who I know are thinking, I'm not quite sure what I should do. I have an entrepreneurial verve. These stories are important. And I think when people hear stories where they see how you've maneuvered and how other people in your position are maneuvering, they feel like it's okay to do it. And they feel a little sense of confidence. And that imposter syndrome, which is always prevalent, which mm-hmm. always present, doesn't get the better of people. It just does too often, right? It keeps people back from finding their best selves all the time. So absolutely. I appreciate you doing this. This is a great story. Great story. And nothing but good is going to continue to happen to you. And do you have any last parting comments for us?
Oh, just really appreciate you having me on today and the conversation. And sounds like you're all up to some very great things. So would love to hear more and stay in touch over the years and see where you all go.
I've got some great things, some great little opportunities for you. I'll talk to you about that later. But ladies and gentlemen, that is it. I want to thank the producers. It's Achilles and Chin K and Grace. Grace, who's working the room right now. Appreciate all your work, Grace. Woo. Woo. And want to thank, she just gave us a thumbs up from the from the producer window. And I want you to know that this podcast is available on your favorite podcast platforms. And you'll see us bouncing around in social media promoting this excellent, excellent podcast with Shelby. So thanks very much, Shelby. Thank you. And thank you to our team, Lena and Andre at the table. And that's it for another edition of Adventures in Careerland.